It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Oh, yeah. We're back again, right? This is Benny Love. I'm the CLO, your chief love officer, right here on BashaniRadio.com. And if you haven't done so, make sure you download the app on for your iPhone, for your Android, and join the millions of listeners that ride with us every weekend right here, okay? I always want to know your feedback, so you can go to BennyLove.com. That's with an IE, right? And just give me your feedback, and maybe you got a question or something. And we usually answer questions, and I don't know, you have a good question, I may talk about you the whole damn show, right? You don't even know how it's going down. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are in some extraordinary times right now, and we're broadcasting live from New York City. It's about 55 degrees and it's clear, cold, and just in case you're on your sheltering in place with the Rona outside, I'm here for you, all right? I'm going to give you something to do. Just get you away from all this negative information we have to hear on the news. And, you know, it's important, but you don't have to use it all day, right? And that's what I want to make sure that, you know, we do and how we keep it. Today's show, I have a very special guest all the way from the ATL. It's Miss Tiandra.
And, hey.
Tiandra, I ain't even say come in yet. You see, she
just, I'm so sorry.
She just bust right through the door, ladies and gentlemen. You heard that? She just kicked the door open. She was like, all right, we about to get this in right here. All the way from the ATL, Miss Tiandra. And we're going to have, you know how we do on Late Night with Benny Love. We're going to have a conversation about love and relationships and everything in between, right? So, you know, I like to bring people on the show that have no problem speaking their mind and being all of themselves. And Miss T is surely that right there. Now, Miss T, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Come on, you know I'm blessed and highly favored all day, every day. So we gonna jump right into it. We want to give first of all, how's your city doing with all this Rona? How's the ATL doing?
Actually, we're doing pretty well. You know, I'm in the healthcare industry, and I think that our organization specifically is handling it phenomenally. Actually, we're sheltering very good. I think the majority of Atlanta specifically are doing a good job with sheltering, and we do have curfew set in place. I don't see a lot of cars on the road. I'm an essential employee, so I go back and forth a lot. So the roads seem pretty empty and people seem to be abiding. So hopefully this will help flatten that curve.
I like that. I wish you guys all the luck, as you know what's going on in New York. So I don't even have to go into that. I want to be that I want to be that breakaway. I want to be that fresh air right now. So we're going to dive right into it, Ms. Tiandra. My first powerful question: what does love mean to you?
Oh, wow. So initially I would say that love is a feeling, but when I think about it on a deeper level, for me, love is commitment. Love is trust. Love is loyalty. Love is all those things combined. So I feel like without having, all of those things in one for both partners in a relationship, then love for me, my personally love for me doesn't exist. So it's hard for me to, when I start dating someone and we start to build a relationship, it's hard for me to initially just come off saying that I love someone, mm-hmm. and still some of those things start to surface. And then for me, if one of those things fall out of whack, then it automatically turns me off.
Now you say one of those things fall out of whack. What do you mean by that? What is one
trust,
of those things?
Trust, which is which for me is crucial. So if something happens where I start to question your trust, then automatically for me, the relationship is at jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. So you're a big trust person. You're a big.
Yes.
And so if I ask you the top three things that matter to you in a relationship, what would they be? One, you said is trust. What would be the other two?
Loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And compassion.
Mm-hmm. Now elaborate a little bit on loyalty and compassion for me.
Loyalty is, I feel like sometimes people aren't loyal to a situation or loyal to a person or loyal to a cause. And for me, if we're in a relationship and we are supporting one another, you have to be loyal to all those things for that person and vice versa. So if I have things that I'm dealing with and you're swaying and you're you don't have the capacity to be there for me, support me, to be loyal to those things, then I have an issue with that.
Mm.
Compassion is, again, if I'm going through something or we're going through something as a couple, if you can't put yourself in a position to express empathy or to communicate and to be emotionally available, then that, again, is an issue for me.
Very, very powerful. I like how you're very on point, very analytical with exactly what you want. So let me ask you something. Most people get into a relationship, Miss T, and the first thing they think about is what they can get out of a relationship instead of what they can put into a relationship. What is your take on that?
I agree. And I think that I've been guilty of that in the past. You know, going off of initial attraction. And then once you get past that initial attraction, again, what can I get from that situation versus how can I contribute to the situation? I definitely think that it's a poor way to start a relationship. But I, like I said, I've been guilty of it. And it took a few hard relationships to come to the realization that you have to approach it in a different way or even at a different angle. Because it's nothing wrong with trying to figure out what the person brings to the table. Because you want to figure out that, or you want to know beforehand what already coming to the table with, because you know what you're bringing to the table. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to kind of look at it through a certain lens, but you just can't look at it from that lens.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and then I don't, because here's where I see it, T. I feel like you have to become that what you want to attract in your life. And if you are looking for that in someone else, you're going to always be disappointed because they will never live up to those expectations. You understand? So, but
yeah, I can agree.
But when you become that what you want to attract in your life, it will be brought towards you and there'll be a good balance of what matters and what doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think, like you said, just to elaborate a little bit on that your energy and, like you said, at the position that you are at a specific point in your life kind of attract a certain type of person to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I agree.
Because I definitely know, you know, when I was in a different confidence level and when I was in the broke world, I attracted one type of person. And when I'm in a successful world, I attract another person. So I had to say to myself, but who am I? And I want to attract somebody that has the values, you know, like I have, you know, that's connected with that family like I am, because I've learned that man will disappoint you all the time. And when I say man, I mean man and woman. They will
Correct.
Disappoint you all the time, not because they want to, but simply because no one's perfect. Right?
Absolutely.
So the balance happens when we get into this thing we call give and take.
Mm-hmm.
You give a little, you take a little, and you balance each other out. You know, but one thing I do know, you can't have two queens in the house and you can't have two kings. Somebody got to be the king and the queen, no matter how you look at it, you know. And please don't email me because I said that, but I'm just saying in general, you know what I mean? You know, and I'm talking about the power level is what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? When it comes to that, what is your thoughts on that?
No, I completely agree. And it's so funny because there was a social media post that talked about gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're always, as females, expected to wear multiple hats. We work outside the home, we take care of the children, we come, we cook, and we take care of the house, and we take care of our man. But on the other hand, the man has the only expectation of the financial responsibility or providing for the household. And when it comes to bearing the weight of other things, then they feel like that's the woman's role, but we don't get the... we don't get the balance from that from our male counterparts. I feel like a lot of women feel like they're exhausted because mm-hmm. their expectations are so high. But on the other end, their counterparts' expectations are not that high, but then they're allowed to not necessarily complain. But like you said, you talked about a king and a queen. They put that crown on and they're like, well, I'm the king or I'm the lion in this house. So you do as I say. Type of thing, and that becomes an issue, and that becomes a struggle, I feel like, in a lot of relationships, especially when there's kids involved, because it's easy for people to say, well, you know, you don't have to tolerate that, walk away. But when you have a family unit and you're trying to hold your family together, there's other methods or processes that you can go through to kind of fix that situation other than walking out the door.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening in today's society too is that too many people find it easy to walk away. And mm-hmm. not like in the old days when your parents, at least I'm going to speak on my parents, where they was basically married until my father passed. And regardless, they stuck together. They had their times and their moments, but never were the moments about, let me get up and leave right now without at the minimum trying to work it out. Do you think the younger generation has taken on the aspect of, you know, the very first problem that happens, they bouncing?
Yeah, and I don't think that I try not to really make it a generational thing, because I think with the advent of technology and social media and all the things that we're exposed to, mm-hmm. that makes it a lot easier to walk away, because you feel like the grass is greener on the other side, mm-hmm. not recognizing that people only post what you want them to see, not necessarily what they're going through. So I try not to say it's a millennial thing or the younger generation thing. I feel like a lot of older people are also starting to fall into that trap of saying, well, I don't have to stay. I've been in this relationship or this marriage for 23, 24 years, but I see that there's other options out there. Let me walk away. But so I don't know if it's a generational thing, more so an exposure to what people feel or society feels is acceptable now.
Now, that's a great perspective. So you think that because we live in a digital age, it has give people some kind of false confidence that, all right, it ain't working. Walk out on your ass. I don't care. I can email this person or social media this person, and I'm good with that. You think it's some a false confidence, because one thing I know has to happen first, and I don't know it's because I'm more mature now. Whatever, humans are still humans, and I think you hit a great point. People put online what they want you to see, but who you are when the camera's off, when the social media off, that is what's absolutely important. And a lot of people don't match those things up. So to elaborate on that question, I want to ask you this. Has the digital age, as you spoke about, changed the dynamics of relationships as a whole?
It's really hard for me to give a true answer on that, only because I haven't really been in a solid relationship during this whole new wave of social media platforms. So I can't really speak from a personal perspective, but just from like some of my friends and what I see and what some people post and
what do you mean when
you
say a solid relationship? What does that mean?
A solid relationship meaning like somebody that was in a real long-term committed situation. So for me, that's solid. Relationship meaning that if you date but there's no true commitment, to me that's not really solid. So I kind of define relationships a little bit differently. So if I was in a really
explain your definition to, it's just me, you, and about 2 million listeners. Can you explain to
us? So a solid, I'll say, for me, and I'm not speaking for anyone else. I'm saying for me.
We only want you to talk about you because that's the, you know you better, right? Who knows you better than you?
I'm just talking about me because I don't want people to jump on and be like, that's not a solid relationship.
Listen, all right,
go. I'm talking about for me.
Do you, girl? Do you?
A solid relationship is basically what I talked about a little bit earlier, the things that I expect in a relationship. So because I haven't been in a solid relationship to that capacity during this whole new platform of Instagram and Snapchat, and obviously Facebook was still around, but you know, that's more of a family type a platform. to an extent, I mean, I don't go on Facebook anymore.
She just dissed the whole Facebook platform. Y'all heard what she just said? She said that's just like a family platform.
It is. You have like your cousins and your aunties and your grandmother. Like you have a different type of generation on that are highly active on Facebook. Anyway, I would just say that to say that because I haven't been in a situation or a relationship where that has affected social media or the digital world hasn't really affected, I can't really speak from a personal experience of how I feel that defines relationships or intrudes on relationships or shapes relationships. But I do have friends who have dated during that time. I do have relatives, obviously, who have been dating during that time. And I do read posts and some of the things that people go through. And I think that if you're going to post your relationship on social media, you have to almost be comfortable enough with people making remarks,
criticizing
you.
Absolutely.
You have to, because some people don't get, they're not comfortable with that. So a lot of people, if they are in a what I consider a solid relationship, choose not to even put their relationship on social media. Just to kind of avoid all of that, because you're going to go through your issues in a relationship. So as soon as you stop posting y'all for like a week or two or 3 weeks or two, then people start questioning, oh, what's going on in their relationship. So it becomes like this whole
you hit that one right on the head right there.
It becomes this whole thing. So I think that dating during the digital age is a lot more complicated than it was when we did not have the digital age and all these social media platforms, the FaceTiming, the IG Live, Facebook Live, all this kind of stuff where if you feel like you're a friend or any of those other things that come along with being in a relationship and you see your friend's man out with somebody else and you throwing them up on IG Live, like there's so many different crazy scenarios that I see people post that I'm glad that I'm not a part of, which somewhat made me happy that I wasn't dating at the time. But my whole thing was, okay, after I finish grad school, I'm getting back out there, I'm being back on the scene. And like I said, the universe had a whole nother plan for me. But I'm not mad at it. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is a reason for me to just to sit back, wait for everything to kind of die down and see what it is. But you know, I think relationships are hard overall, and the digital doesn't make it easier.
I totally agree. I have one rule when I'm in a serious relationship. It will not show up on social media. So you will never see a picture of me and somebody I'm serious with. You know, if you see somebody in a picture, you can be assured there is nothing going on. You see what I'm saying? But you will never see somebody in a picture of me, because I believe your private should be kept private. Because like you said, you're going to go through things. And as soon as you go through things, there's always somebody sitting in the corner right there saying, because, you know, the moment you put your relationship online, first of all, people are going to judge whether he hot and whether you're hot. You know what I mean? And then two, you got those lookers in the corner that are saying, I can't wait till she leave him because I'm going to be right there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you always got the watchers. You see what I'm saying? So I believe things that are very, very important to you, you should never put those online, you know, unless you're married. See, I say that different because, see, in marriage, you're locked in. So you can say what you want. So, you know, I see couples that do things together and that's all cool. But I mean, anything below marriage, you shouldn't be posting. And that's just my opinion. Just because I just believe you have so many people that are not having such a great life, that are not having great relationships, and they're just looking for people to talk about. And I think it takes away from some of that beauty of having that privacy. You know what I mean? And being able to shoot to another city or country with that person without people saying, ooh, where y'all went here? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like
I agree.
All that matters. So if you see me a picture in another country, you're going to see only me. You ain't going to see nobody else because I just don't do that because I didn't. Do you feel the same or have you ever part of your one of relationships? Two-part question. Has any one of your relationships you put online and found out that it didn't work? And number two, what you mean you ain't been in a serious relationship for a while?
Okay. Part one, yes, I've actually have posted in the past pictures of me and a significant other that I was dating and it didn't work out. But I think, I mean, now again, that was when I was in my 30s. But I think that was because...
Now you're in your 20s, right? Okay, cool.
Right, we're going to go backwards. But I think that's because when prior to that relationship, I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a relationship, in a marriage. Well, we were in a relationship for 10 years, married for 6. But he didn't want any parts of social media. And at that time, IG wasn't big. Snapchat wasn't around. It was really just Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, Facebook was like a family thing. So I felt a certain type of way about not being able to post my spouse on Facebook. So I think that after that situation died and I started to go back to out and date again and I got into a relationship that I thought at the time was a solid relationship, I did post it on social media. And we were in a relationship for 5 years.
Mm. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah. So
I don't, you got me over here saying your word solid. I feel like I'm going back to 1970s. We solid. Let's go.
So I felt that way too. So I thought, okay, this is good. So I did have a situation where I did post on IG and I did post on Facebook, and actually the pictures are still up there because we're still friends. It mm-hmm. didn't end in a negative way where we just don't talk to each other or have it didn't leave a bad taste in either one of our mouths. So the pictures mm-hmm. are still up there, but I did post before. But now, as I've, like I said, matured and I haven't been in a good solid relationship for a number of years, hindsight for me is always 20/20. And as I move forward and I start to date again, should I get into another solid relationship that develops into something that's more serious, perhaps maybe marriage? I don't know. I'll have to really consider whether or not I will be open enough to really put myself out there again to do that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think your issue is right now then, since it's been a while? Are you scared or you no longer want to commit? Be honest, it's just me, you, and about 2 million people. Really, it's not a lot of people here.
I have to think about that for a second, because before I went back to grad school, I was open to dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I started to date, and I was dating a few people, but for some reason, everything bothered me about these people.
Hold up. Let's back up here for a second. You just went straight left on us. You know,
I dated
these people, but everything bothered me about it. How the hell you got into that situation?
Because I feel like when you're dating somebody, and when I say dating, I'm not saying like having sexual relationships. I'm talking about literally hanging out with them, going out to dinner, doing miscellaneous stuff, just try to get to learn each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like after you go through that for a while, like, okay, so you might be dating one person, you're hanging out with them, you're like, still something that's missing. So you meet somebody in the midst of that, you start dating another person. So now you're dating two people at the same time. And you let the people know, like, I'm actively dating. This is not an exclusive relationship. So there's no surprise that you're out on a date with someone else. So if you're dating multiple people.
Hold on, T. We're going to slow this down because you just ripping right through here. And I know we're going to get a lot of emails about. Let's back up. Let's back up for here for a second. There's a difference between courting, uh-huh. dating, and in a relationship. Right?
Okay. For me, courting and dating is kind of almost hand in hand.
Okay. Because courting is basically meaning we may be going out to dinner, we may be mm-hmm. hanging out, but ain't nada going on after that. You know what I mean? Dating is we're going out to dinner, we're hanging out, but there's some freaky deaky happening.
No.
You're right.
That's not my definition of that.
Oh, Lordy. Let's hear
to
your
me, that's
definition.
That's relationship.
Explain courting to me.
Well, I was going to say courting and dating for me is like hand in hand. If you want to say courting, you can say courting. But if I want to say dating, I'm going to say dating. But they mean the same thing. So we're just hanging out, going to the movies, going bowling, going out for drinks, doing a little happy hour. Like, we're just dating. I might give you a hug and a peck. Well, that's the extent of it. We're dating. So if I'm in a relationship with you and we've established something here, then okay, then we're going to take it a little step further. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when you're dating, and you should keep yourself, your options open. So if I'm dating and I'm just like, oh, well, something about that that I'm just not feeling, let me date somebody else. And I'm dating that person. I'm like, okay, so I got to a point last year where I'm just like, everybody's irritating me. So I kind of cut it, like, not stop dating completely and just refocus, step back, decided out, what do you want to do? Like, what's going to make you happy right now? And that's when I decided to go back to school.
So you, you went back to school so you didn't have to date?
Yes. Let me put my attention and my focus and my energy on something that comes to give me some value.
I'm dead. I'm cooked and I'm fried.
No,
let me tell you something about men. I can't tell you about women, but I'm gonna tell you something about men. If you tell a man that you are dating, he is expecting that it's you and him. He's not expecting that it's you, him, and them. I'm just letting you know how a man perceives it. If you tell a man you're courting, then he can say, okay, we're not that serious. We just friends. Okay, we're just friends. But if you're dating, you know, a man is territorial. I'm just be totally honest with you. You might not like that, but a man becomes territorial. Because if I say I'm dating this young lady, I'm not dating nobody else, because I've put my foot down now and say, hey, this is where my focus is at. Until we're not dating anymore, then you know you understand what I'm saying. So
you
you're gonna have a lot of you're gonna have a lot of issues telling a man that you're dating, but you might want to date somebody else, because what that sound like is that, hey bro, this is bro, we hanging, we not dating, and there's a difference between hanging and dating, because when you're hanging, there is no expectations. When a woman tell you this is my friend, you're in that friend zone. So you have no other expectations. So if you want to go out and, like you said, have a few drinks or whatever, that's cool, whatever. But when a woman says you're dating, a man takes it as, okay, we have decided to become serious now. And you might not be in a deep relationship, but you are dating. So you're given this time to grow. Does this make sense, or it don't make sense to you?
No, it kind of does. But I wanted to ask this. When I don't ever recall a time where that's ever been a conversation when I'm courting slash dating someone, when they're like, what are we doing? Are we dating? Like, that's never even been a topic of conversation.
In times right now, men don't do that no more, because they automatically, depending on which vibrations you give them, they're going to set it up. Because you got to remember, let me tell you something about men, Ms. T. Men, just like women, put you in a category, okay, when y'all meet. So he's either going to put you in the friend, the girlfriend, the wifey material, or the friends with benefits. You see what I'm saying? It's going to be in one of those categories, okay? And depending on which one he puts you in is how he's going to react with you going forward. And whatever vibe you give him, because from what I'm getting from you, you're saying, if I say I'm dating you, we just hanging, bro. That don't mean there's nothing serious. Like, I'm dating you today, and on Wednesday I'm going to be dating JoJo, and on Friday I'm going to be dating. See, you see how that a man's going to take that different. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes sense. But I think that's probably a conversation that if two people get past that phase and they want to take it to the next level, or they deem that it's necessary to be a little bit more serious, then that's a conversation that needs to be had. Because for me, I think that personally, the mistakes that I've made in the past was kind of pulling myself off the market when that conversation hadn't been had before me making that move. So moving forward, I felt as though once I decided that I wanted to jump back into the arena of dating, and it did get to a point where we both felt as though it was going to get serious, I'm still not taking myself off the market until I have a ring on my finger, because I'm just like, listen, I will still be dating. And I just feel that way because I feel like a lot of times women, we make a lot of sacrifices. And if I'm sacrificing, I'm pulling myself off the market, and I'm not going to be, I'm not dating anymore. I'm just keeping exclusive to you, but you're still out there trying to figure out what you're trying to do.
So let me ask this, Ms. T, before we go to this quick break. So okay. If you're dating and that's the way you then, if he says the same thing, you okay with that, right? If he's if he's dating you on Friday and then dating and Sherry on Saturday and dating Sandy on Sunday, you okay with that?
Absolutely.
You have no problem with that?
No.
Hot damn. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back with the boss.
Oh, God, no, not the boss.
Because I'm just in this short conversation, I'm getting a sense from her, and I'm going to tell you what it is when we come right back.
Oh, good, you're going to tell me what my problem is.
No, I am so not going to tell you what your problem is. I'm going to let you tell the world what your problem is.
Oh, Lord.
That's how we roll here. You're listening to Benny Love right here on Bashani Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, it might be 55 degrees outside here in New York, but it just got 103 degrees up in here. We talking to Miss T. We'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you made that position.
Start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. Just in case you...
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Now I have to explain it to do.
Oh, just in case you just joined us. We are talking to Miss Tiandra, and it got a little hot up in here, ladies and gentlemen. And I can tell you right now, there's going to be some emails of this show right here, boy. Because she went off for a second, and she just changed the whole damn game. You're listening to Benny Love right here on Bashani Radio. Make sure you download the app to hear this show and all the other episodes of Benny Love. We like to keep it exclusive here, ladies and gentlemen. And just make sure that every week you come back, because we have some powerful guests that you never, ever thought. Right, just like tonight. Today's episode is sponsored in part by Quibi. 10 minutes or less, get all the shows and entertainment you want. Download the app on Quibi on iPhones and on Android and watch all your favorite shows in 10 minutes or less episodes. Hello, Miss T, how are you?
Hey, we're back.
I tried to give you some space, and you still was going off. So I tried to give you a little space. We are live right now, so just make sure you know everybody can hear everything that's going on right now, right? So where should we begin? Because I don't even know where we stopped. No, I know where we stopped. Let me stop playing. So go ahead, Miss T. You were explaining your way of how and doing things, and I get the sense that when you enter relationships, you like to be the boss.
That is correct. But not by not on purpose.
What do you mean not on purpose? How could you not want to be the boss on purpose? What does that mean?
Okay, a little background. I feel like I had my daughter young. I was a single parent. I had my daughter at 19. She's 24 years old now. So I was a single parent for a really long time before I got married a few years ago and then divorced. But I was a single parent, so I was always the head of the household, and I had to make the rules. I had to make the decisions. I had to lead. So I think that going into relationships, if I don't have a man that is a strong male presence and does those things that a male is supposed to do, then it's hard for me to allow them to take the lead when I feel as though I can do it just as good or better. And so I think that is an issue of mine. And I've been told that in previous relationships that I'm wearing the wrong hat. You're wearing the wrong hat. But I'm like, if you stepped up, then I would be willing to take that hat off. But I'm not going to follow somebody that I don't feel is a strong leader. And that's just me personally.
And here's what I get. I get that point. That's no problem. But at what it appears, the energy that comes off is like you never take off that hat. You always keep that hat on, and somebody gonna have to steal it from you for it to be gone, simply because you've been exposed to that energy of having to be in control. But let me tell you something, Mom. Maybe you can relate to it in this way. Great leaders come from being great followers. Okay? And that's in business, and that's in love. And what do I mean by that? In order to understand what is required of a great leader, you have to at some point been a great follower, because man is the teacher of man. Even as myself, I've had to get under people before I could get over people. You understand?
Agreed.
Because there are some things that we don't just grow up knowing. You understand? But what I've learned about leadership and teaching people all over the world about leadership and being a leader in my own, sometimes we got to delegate. Mm-hmm. You can't do everything. The reason why my businesses are successful, Ms. T, is because I've learned to delegate. There was a point I ain't trust nobody. But I felt what I learned when I didn't trust anybody, I couldn't scale the business. You know,
right.
So I'm using this metaphor of business because that's what I do. Right. But I couldn't scale the business because I couldn't give. I couldn't delegate to someone to do this why I focused on doing this. You understand? So let me bring it back to relationships. You can't do it all.
I know.
And if you want, you can't. And no matter how good you think you are, you can't do it all. We all need somebody. Why? Because we're human. And human need that sociability. That's why it's so hard with the social distance, because human needs humans. Humans are the teacher of humans. You understand? And one thing I had to get over, I was married for 10 years. And it took me 2 years to get divorced. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that left a sour taste in my mouth about the marriage thing. But then what I had to come to realize later on is that whatever she was supposed to get, she got. And whatever I was supposed to keep, I kept. You understand? Mm-hmm. So nobody can really take anything from you if it's yours. They can take it in the physical sense, but I believe karma always comes back around. But the point I really want to get in this whole thing is that for a while I didn't trust anybody of giving my heart to anyone. You know what I mean? Because I felt like, you know, after spending 2 years in a divorce court, you know what I mean, when it should have been 2 days, people have the ability to fight you till they can't fight no more. And that did something to me. But what I learned is that even in the midst of it all, I still came out shining. I still had two beautiful children. And I learned that I can't bring that baggage to the next relationship because there's not enough space on the new plane. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because think about this, Ms. T. If you bring all the baggage from all the relationships that didn't work, you ain't gonna have no room on the plane for yourself, let alone somebody else. You're going to fly your luggage first and then you're going to take the next flight. Does that make sense?
It does. And I agree. And when I say like, I definitely get the picture that I try to dominate the relationships mm-hmm. that I've been in, and not just putting all the blame or the onus on the fact that I was a single parent, mm-hmm. but also like even in a career position, just being in a, like you said, a leadership role and in the workforce and having to delegate when you're outside of the home and then coming home and have to delegate there, it gets draining. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you want to do it. You want to be able to take off that hat and kind of relax and allow someone else to kind of lead. But I felt like in certain situations, if I allow that, then it would I would be taking several steps back, and it would just take way more energy to catch up than to just mm-hmm. not doing it myself type of thing. But that's something that, like you said, I understand everything that you said, and you make great, great points, and they're all valid. And I know moving forward, I have to do a lot better.
Let me interject here. Let me interject here, T, because you're just not going to get off this easy right here.
Okay.
Let me interject here for a second. You said, yeah, you understand all of that. But here's the point, T. Nobody can do anything that you don't allow, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you have to trust somebody. It's the same way in your career. Somebody had to trust you to put you in that position. Now, if they have to stand over you all day, you're not a good candidate for that job. Is that correct?
True.
So here's what has to happen. At some point, they have to give you space to do what you need to do and show that you are qualified to be working along with the team. And if you don't, then they're going to do whatever it takes to get rid of you. You understand? Well, guess what? In relationships, you have to give that trust. You spoke about that earlier. You talk about trust, yeah. right? And mm-hmm. the reason why you talked about trust, what I get from just talking to you right now is that because that's the thing you give the least.
Really?
Right here. That's the thing that you give the least. And because you give it the least, you expect the most. Okay.
Look at that.
Let me say that again. The thing that you give the least is the thing that you expect the most. That's one of your issues right there. And just this little short time talking to you because,
wow.
you know, I'm an alpha male. You understand?
Uh-huh.
And honestly, just talking to you for this little time right here, I feel like you think you should be in the damn cage too. And well, I'm going to tell you what I'm not. No, but slow your roll, girl. Slow your roll. You know what I mean? In other words, you know what I mean? The energy you give off is like, I understand that and that all of that, but that is who I am. But here's what I want to hopefully graciously and humbly tell you. The thing that's stopping you from allowing your relationships to flourish, and I'm gonna break it down for you right now. One, your ego. Now, ego is edging God out. Now, what I mean by that, it's basically you believe that it's you and should be only you. And then if somehow, if I got time for you, meaning the others, then I might pay some attention to it. And that's not how it goes, see? You have to humble yourself first of all. See what I'm saying? And then you will attract a man that is also humble. But if you don't, you're going to attract the same. So you will attract men who will never understand you. And I'm going to really give it to you right now, girl. You're going to attract a man that will never understand you because you don't truly understand yourself. You think you overstand, but no, you understand because you have put yourself in the number one position at all times based on the experience that you had. And that's good. We're supposed to learn, like I was trying to explain to you. I could have brought that baggage from my marriage that dissolved and continue to take it and hope that it's going to work somewhere else. But it doesn't. You know why? Because the same way you move into a new house, it takes a new set of keys. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? You might want to try to bring the lock with you, but eventually that lock is going to go bad. So it's better to just start off with a new lock. So I say all of that to say this is, until you can truly be honest with yourself, you will never attract that man who can truly be honest with you, because you always have a bit of doubt, slight doubt. You know what I mean? That he is not good enough for what I expect. And I'm going to tell you something about expectations. They always going to fail you.
Yeah, no.
Every man and woman going to fail you because nobody can live up to everybody's expectations. That's why I spoke earlier. It was a setup when I asked you about giving to the relationship or taking from the relationship, because what that does is allow me to see into who you are and what you think first. You understand? And you have an expectation of what is required for you. But you have a little expectation is what required to the others. And if they don't meet your match, then they're not good enough for you. So let me run somewhere else, as you say, and put your attention somewhere else, because it's easier than dealing with this. But let me tell you something, Miss T, it never gets easy.
No.
It never gets easy. You can delay it, but it don't get easier. It's all the same. The only time change happens, and I've had to learn this about myself, which is how I can, you know, have a dynamic with others, because the more you know about yourself, the more you know about others. I had to humble myself and say, everybody is not like my ex. Everybody don't think like my ex. And just because that marriage didn't work, don't mean the new one will, if I want to go into a new marriage. You understand?
Understood.
And but if you never allow that door to open, see, and here's something I thought was very interesting, because I pay attention to the details. Your definitions of courting and dating fit you, but they don't fit nobody else. You know why? Once again, and you know it's true. Okay, you made
we don't
your
definition. We didn't take a poll. Can you take a poll?
I just did. Would you? You the only vote we actually need. You see what I'm saying? And because you are the only person that it matters to, nobody will ever fit into that, because your definitions is your definitions. And I'd be damned, there'd be any guy that's going to ever be able to fit into that, because you put it at a place where it can't be entered. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. But my whole thing is this, isn't it important to make sure that you set a certain level of expectations for the relationship or for any relationship that you may want to enter into, so that when you start to date or you start to court or you start to consider being exclusive, if that situation doesn't match up to what you are, or not necessarily, let me take that back, not expectations, standards. So if you set a level of standards, like, okay, these are my non-negotiables and these are my negotiables, and you start to see some of the non-negotiables outweigh the negotiables, then at that point, I feel like.
But here's the beauty, Ms. T. You already failed when you set negotiables that nobody else can negotiate. That's like walking into a contract meeting saying, I will not take less than $20 million. I don't care what you say. You understand? But you don't understand that our budget is $15 million. And if you work this deal out, in the end, you'll make $100. But because you're so set on the $20 up front, you block the benefit of trying to weigh it out. Well, that happens in relationships too. There's a difference between expectations and standards.
Right.
Standards meaning, I could say I have a standard. I'm not going to date nobody that ain't got no job. Well, that's a everyday standard, because I'm not trying to take care of you
right
away. You see what I'm saying? Versus an expectation. I need a man who gonna do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And if you fail on any of those, your ass is out. That ain't gonna work, girl. Some men are trying to play the game, but they only gonna play it for so long. And you know why? Because their true self will end up coming out. And then you once again say, see, I knew he wasn't worthy. I knew he couldn't do it. You know why? Because he failed all my expectations. No. You know, you failed your expectations, not him. He never had a chance. See, I'm only talking from a man's point of view. You understand? Does this make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. Because, you know, majority of times when my dating efforts go south, I'm always kind of sitting back to try to have a reflective moment to try to figure out, okay, so what part did I play in this? I like to take accountability. Mm-hmm. But
play a part in it. See, that's what I had to do too. When I got divorced, I said, hold up, why did I get divorced? What did she do wrong? And then I said about somebody told me, hold up, brother. No, it takes two to tango. What did you both do wrong? And I said, damn, why I gotta be like that, bro? You know what I mean? And he made a very good thing. He simply said, once you enter a relationship, there's the relations and then there's the ship. You know what I mean? If you take the ship out, that's called a friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you take the relations out, that's called a friend. So there's a relationship that has to grow. But if you've already said no before the person even got in the door, how the hell you think he gonna have a chance with you, Miss T?
But I feel like I'm not saying no automatically before they get in the door if I'm actually dating you. So I'm giving you a chance. I'm trying to see if those qualities are there or if we are compatible.
So then you might as well just get out a resume and have them sit down at a desk and go over your qualifications. You see how crazy that sounds? You might as well just before you date somebody. And then you have to explain what dating means to you, because you have a whole different definition than what most men will think about it. You can do your own poll if you ask men, what does dating mean to you versus what is courting mean to you, you know, versus, you know, a serious relationship. And I can guarantee you there ain't a lot going to see it like you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're searching, you're searching. And to me, that's courting. You understand? But if I say I'm in a relationship, I'm saying me and Miss T, we good. We solid. You know what I mean? You know, we're going to see if this could work out. But if Miss T is saying, I'm chilling with JoJo next week. You don't be twisted. Don't get it twisted. I'm chilling with JJ on what you call it. Don't get it twisted. Well, then what you basically said is that you are not valuable enough for me to even take a little time to see if we can work it out. You understand? You want to drive all these cars first, okay, before you decide on which one you won't pay for. You can't do that.
That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, all right,
go ahead.
That's not it.
Go, girl.
The thing is, I feel like if you're serious enough about me, then you're going to take me off.
Hold on. Say what that said. I want you to back up again. I want you to say it slow. If they're serious enough about who?
Me.
Oh, okay. Say it one more time. If they're
serious enough about me, then you would want me off the market so I'm not dating other people. And in order for you to do that, you have to put a ring on it.
I have no problem with stepping the game up with the ring thing, but the ring don't make a person be right. You got to remember that.
No, but he's just telling me that I'm not wasting my time sitting up here taking other potentials off of the table because you are still undecided. You're indecisive about what you want to do.
Okay. You notice how your whole, what you just explained there, everything was about him. You notice that?
Yeah.
There was no obligation on your half.
Okay. Cause this is my thing in a relationship. I feel like if I'm committed, I'm 110% committed.
Okay.
I have no issue with rolling up my sleeves, putting in the work and doing my part to make the relationship a relationship. So I know you're going to say here go again with that ego thing, but I just feel like I'm going to bring what I need to bring to the table. So anytime I talk about him or the other person, then it's because that's an unknown for me.
So,
I don't know.
So Miss T, let me ask you this right here. You say that you know you're going to bring what is needed to the table, right?
Yes.
That's what you said, right?
I do.
All right. And then how does he know that? Because you said so, right? Back that up. You say, I know. And I want you to make sure you listen to this show when you go back and get into it. Because I want you to listen to how you're speaking. Because, see, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm allowing you to flow, right? But you said that you know you have 100% what you bring it to the table. There's zero flaws in what you bring in. But how do you know he believes that?
I don't know that.
Ooh.
I don't know that.
You know, and you know how you do know that? You know how you can know that? Only time. And you have to start with a clean slate. You can't start with stuff on top of the slate. That's the point I'm getting to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
It's only a clean slate. Nobody's perfect and nobody's going to fit that ramification. But I can tell you this, if a man feels a woman does not need him, he will look for a woman that he feels does need him, because that makes him feel like he is that provider. He is that security. He is that one that she, when she needs a shoulder to cry on, he's going to be there. You understand? And a woman, I can't speak for women, but from the women I've had conversations with, you know, women want to have emotional security, financial security, and loyalty security.
Yes.
Okay. That's what most women I've spoken with say, that those three things they want. Right. And if you lost your job tomorrow, will that man be able to keep that family together? Can he do that? That's what she needs to know. You understand? If you got sick and needed that emotional empathy, will he be there to see you through? And number three, the loyalty. No matter what's going on, no matter how many big booties he see on Instagram, he know where the home is at. Don't bring that stuff in the house.
Exactly.
Right? Everybody gonna look, because everybody put their best fit. Nobody puts their ugly pictures up on Instagram. Nobody. We only put their best pictures, and some people got so many damn filters, I'm not even sure who they are. You understand?
Yeah.
So people only put their best foot forward. We said that when the conversation began, correct?
Correct.
Right. So with that expectation, you have to meet the individual somewhere in the middle, Misty.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I think that coming out of graduating from school and just having a different perspective on approaching relationships moving forward, I really was thinking to myself that, A, I have to have a lot more patience. I haven't been exercising great patience. And B, just as much as they might not check off all the boxes for me, I might not check out all the boxes for them.
Girl, you better preach.
So,
you better preach up in here. Now you see it. You go, girl.
So I do understand it. So my whole thing was coming into 2020 was like, yeah, I'm going to give this whole dating thing a try again. But like I said, the universe had a whole nother situation lined up for me. So that didn't happen.
Miss T, you create the world you experience, Miss T.
I mean, we have this whole social distancing.
The universe, because it felt that maybe you needed some time alone.
I know that's right.
You know what I mean? Because
I know that's right.
Simply because you didn't have no time alone, you ain't had no time to actually figure it out, and now you came on the Benny Love Show, and hopefully you can go back and listen to this and just listen. And when you listen, I want you to listen with your eyes closed, and I want you to listen to your own answers, and I want you to put yourself in the shoes of that man, if possible, just for a moment, and tell me, does that feel good to your soul? Tell me, does that feel good? Because everything that we do, it has to feel good inside, Miss T. And if it don't feel good inside, you know, physical enjoyment is very, very simple. You understand? That can come and go very, very quickly. But as they say, happiness is only for a moment, but joy lives for a long time with inside. You understand?
Yep. Got it.
And when you have that joy, Lord have mercy.
Priceless.
You better say that thing. So we're going to wind this up. We're getting to that. Man, this conversation was so good. And I'm so glad that you were bold enough to come on here with Benny Love, because some people don't want to face the facts. And I think this was healthy. I think this was a healthy conversation.
And I agree.
And I believe that it will help somebody else that may be in that same situation.
It's going to help me.
And I hope that, you know, we could have another conversation at another time and some change has occurred, because, you know, here's one thing I like to tell women and men, Miss T. There's only one common denominator in every relationship you had. And what is that?
Me?
M-E.
Am I the common?
You the common? Yes, you are the common denominator.
Oh, okay, me?
Yeah, just you. If it ain't you, then it's somebody else. So yeah. If the only common denominator is you, what does that say?
I know. Listen, you drove home your points several times, and I'm going to get a lot from it going back to replay and re-listen to this whole interview and this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And just from the short period of time that we've talked just now, I've had a few aha moments.
Really?
Light bulb hit. Yeah, the light bulb went off a few times. So.
All right, cool. So before we go, we about to get out of here. Can you share a little aha moments?
Aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
Aha moment number one is I get in my own way.
Mm. Damn, girl, you better preach that damn thing.
Yeah, that's my aha. I really get in my own way. B, the other aha moment is like we, you know, discussed at the very tail end of this conversation is that I have to have patience and I have to understand that I'm not going to always be it. Everything for everybody, and I shouldn't have those same expectations in return.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to really just go into the next situation with trust and not expecting or having certain expectations and not bringing along baggage from previous situations, which I think that subconsciously I was doing that.
Mm-hmm. I think we all do it. And it's just the point of sometimes it's got to come from a place where we never expected it. Because when somebody brought it to my attention, this was somebody I never really even had conversations with, and they hit it and it just like boom. I was like, well, damn, Benny, you need to just back up, bro. You know what I mean? So I hope that helped you. And I think your conversation and your honesty in this whole conversation is going to help a lot of people. You may not even know, because it sometimes all people really need is a great conversation. That's right. All. We're all good in the end. You know what I mean? You're good people. You know what I mean? And Miss T is definitely available, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. No, I'm just joking.
Right. Single, ready to mingle.
You know what I mean? She's had her awakening, ladies and gentlemen. You can experience that right here. She had her awakening right here. And that's what's important. And I really humbly thank you for being on Late Night with Benny Love. And
thank you for having me.
I really think this conversation is going to help a lot of men and women, because there's something about a true honesty that I think people can relate to. And I think that's what you gave to us. And even if it didn't pan out to the answers you wanted, it opened you up. And that's what was important. If that makes sense, right?
It does. It makes great sense. And I thank you so much for having me. And like I said, I'm going to sit back and listen to this again and pull some more aha moments out of it.
Your final words, Miss T. Your final words before we get out of here.
My final words would be relationships are complex, but we don't have to make them.
Girl, that sounds like your next book. Stop playing. I'm telling you, you're ready for the world now. You're gonna come out this whole Rona thing like a superwoman.
I'm excited now.
You know what I mean? And it's gonna open it up. And honestly, you never know. Maybe the guy that's ready for you is listening to this conversation somewhere around the world.
We find out you're a matchmaker.
You know what I mean? It's all good. You know what I mean? But you never know though. You just never know, because people need to hear the real you. And if you never give them that opportunity, you never know what's possible. And I think you gave me and my 2 million friends the opportunity to get inside your head. And I've always known that. I always tell men, if you can get inside a woman's mind, you can stimulate everything else. Stimulate that mind, and that mind and everything else will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it all boils down to it, I think you're going to be a great catch as soon as you allow yourself to be caught and then get out that damn Ferrari. You know what I mean? Going 4 speed ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Late Night with Benny Love. I'm your host, Benny Love, the CLO, the Chief Love Officer, and we humbly and graciously thank Miss Tiandra for being here and being open, because that's all we want. We want real conversations with real people. Nobody's an expert, but I think we all have something to offer. And she allowed herself to walk in this hot seat, not even knowing the seat was hot, because I think if she knew the seat was hot, she probably not came. But it was good, though. You know what I mean? But here's the beauty. She didn't get burned. She just she took it like a champ, and that's what's important. You can learn more about me at BennyLove.com and go to Bashani Radio and listen to this and many other episodes. And that my whole goal with this show is to hopefully help you find love, because love is the greatest feeling you can ever have in a life. It's one of the greatest emotions you can ever experience. And when you allow yourself not only to give love, but be love, it's euphoria. And too many times we don't allow ourselves to be love because, as Miss T says, sometimes we get in our own way. But I don't believe in coincidence. I believe everything happens for a reason, and this was her day. This was her time, and this was her moment. And I think that she's going to make somebody very, very happy when she get through it. She's going to be all right, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Make sure you join us next time for another powerful episode, Late Night with Benny Love, right here from New York City. It's not a game, baby. It's a lifestyle. And I love you. And you can't do a damn thing about it. I don't like to leave you, but I have to go, ladies. I really have to go. Every time I walk out the door, you notice I walk out the door so slow, right? Because I really don't want to leave you, but you'll be all right till I get back, okay? All right, till next time. I love you. And you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.